ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तस्य उत्कला गया तस्योत्कलो गयो राजन् विमलश्चात्रया सुता दक्षिणापथा राजनो
By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Ho King Sudyumna had three very pious sons named Utkala, Gaya and Vimala, who became the kings of the Dakshinapatha. There is no purport, so we'll also chant the next verse and the translation and purport. तथा परिणते काले प्रतिस्थानापति प्रभु पुरुरावसा उत्सृज्य गां पुत्रय गतो वनम्। Thereafter, when the time was ripe, when Sudyumna, the king of the world, was sufficiently old, he delivered the entire kingdom to his son Pururava and entered the forest. Purport. According to the Vedic system, one within the institution of Varna and Ashrama must leave his family life after he reaches 50 years of age. Panchashad Urdhvam Vanam Vrajet. Thus, Sudyumna followed the prescribed regulations of Varna Ashrama by leaving the kingdom and going to the forest to complete his spiritual life.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha.
Hare Krishna. So we welcome everyone for the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Most valuable time in our human life. We spend hearing and chanting about the glories of Lord as the only best way of using our time. So in this chapter titled Kring Sudyumna Becomes a Woman, so this is a chapter where in the previous verses there are a lot of elaborate discussion on dynasty, how Vaivastha Manu appeared, especially about King Sudyumna, the title becomes a woman. There was some mistake in the way the ritual was performed, so instead of boy, it was a girl. The father was not happy, so again there was some correction, so he got a male body, then he again was cursed, so he got a female body. Again, there was a petition, so then okay, the curse was taken back. Then it's okay. Now you will be 1 month, you will be a man, and another month you will be. And he was a king. Just imagine the state of the subjects. The king 1 month he's a male, and another month he's a female. So they were all dissatisfied. So in this verse it is said the king realized that it is time for him now. Of course, subjects are not happy. So he had responsible children. One of them was Pururava. He gave him all the responsibilities. And in this verse it is said that he left for forest. This is what is Vedic culture. At the right time, when all the responsibilities are over, the whole system is arranged in such a way that everyone gets a chance to completely dedicate his life. If he is not a brahmachari, then he goes through grihastha ashram, because everyone can't be a brahmachari. It's not possible, very difficult. So the purpose of going through grihastha ashram is not that he forgets the purpose of life. He goes through the ashram, then again he's got another chance where he can completely dedicate, and that is it, vanaprastha life. Of course, in our society, we see brahmacharis, we see grihasthas, and we see sannyasis. But this vanaprastha thing is not very clear. We don't see anyone, oh, he's a vanaprasthi. No doubt, the rules are very stringent. But then, the essence should not be forgotten. The essence is to completely become dependent on the Lord. You're not dependent, so this is the time you become dependent. So in this translation, it is said when you are sufficiently old, but in the purport, Prabhupada said 50 years of age. I'm sure many of us here in this room are very young. They may also feel that 50 is too early. Many of us have crossed 50. Many of us far above 50. Some of them are very close to 50. What does it mean to us? Is this the only way, or does it have something more? Of course, Prabhupada has said that the essence is hearing and chanting, purifying our consciousness, following a pure life, living in the association of devotees, serving Vaishnavas, same time disentangling oneself from all worldly responsibilities, and slowly dedicating or fixing his mind, the result will be same where a person had to go to forest. Now this is something very extreme, but it was those days, it was like that. Forest means, what is there in the forest? You have nothing to eat, it's dark, no proper environment. But then you are getting detached from all the comforts. Why to get detached from all the comforts? Because if we don't get detached, it is very difficult to understand the real nature of the soul, because the illusory nature is so powerful. It will never allow. But modern civilization, it says life begins at the age of 50. Modern means Western, it will come here. The life begins at 50. And you see most of the hoardings, if you see many, of course, nowadays it becomes very popular now. Retirement policies. It is making you, giving you hopes that once you retire, we have this scheme, you can stay comfortably. It is very ironical if you see that how this is the real time when a person has worked very hard, he has accumulated wealth. Now his children have grown up. And one sense, this is a time for him to relax, to be comfortable, you know. Be with the family, be with the children, grandchildren, and relax. Isn't it? But see what Vedic culture is saying. This is the time you should get out. So it's so contradictory. But we should not forget that this system is arranged by the Lord. This is not coming from some human idea. The Lord has set it up. So why has he set it up in this way? Because every one of them, they get a chance to work together and also same time make progress. Otherwise, there will be chaos, what we can see now. There is no varna and there is no ashrama. It's very interesting if you see when you are walking around near railway station, such crowded people walking here and there. Can you make out what is the varna of this person, what is ashram of this. There is no varna and ashram. Means classless society. Classless means what? Animals don't have any class. Do they have any class? So when there is no class, there is no civilization, it is called animalistic society. Maybe very harsh, but it is what is said. Shastra says that. So in animalistic society, it is very difficult to understand higher truth in life. Can you preach? So everyone has to come to one level. But this is a so-called propaganda. But anyway, here it is said about old age. We all are going to become old. Those who are young, they are also going to become old very soon. Once one devotee asked Maharaj this question. We are returning back from a very hectic yatra. So he told Maharaj that now I feel very old, my joints are paining, and I am not very actively able to enthusiastically participate. Because there are so many young people, they just have so much energy, and you know, they come in front, and you know, So he said that, why do you worry? He told, Maharaj said this, why are you worrying about it? Those who are young, they are very soon going to become old. But if you don't take Krishna consciousness seriously, you would become young very soon. So old age, one sense, is why? Why it is there? Huh? But if there was no old age, there wouldn't have been an incentive to surrender to Krishna. Old age has also its, you know, why is it designed like that? It is not some curse. The whole creation is created in such a way that there will be only suffering. Isn't it? Even Brahma was frustrated. He said, do I have to create again? Again he had to create? Well, then why again? Because he knows that this whole thing is created only to frustrate people, to punish people. Do I have to do that again? That's what is designed. So this is old age. One sense, it is designed like this. But then it has its own values, realizations. A person who has worked very hard in his life, then he sees suddenly that, you know, his body is not cooperating. There is so much pain. And then in the course of time, it becomes, you have to just tolerate it. There is no other solution. The health doesn't go up after that. It is only going down. So that time, it is really painful, one sense. Of course, for a materialistic person who has no training at all, it's a very painful thing. The whole thing, what he has created, maybe a big business empire. But then he's seeing that, well, it is going to go away, everything, because he can see the death is approaching. If you know knowledge, it's very painful. Of course, many people sober down also. They sober down in their state. They start writing their will. This is the nature of sobering down. No? Okay, I want to give it. Of course, he will hold on to it till he dies. But this is it. So Prabhupada says that this is what was Vedic culture. But nowadays, Prabhupada very clearly says that our leaders, now these are all kings. There are several instances in Shastra where the kings have left for this purpose because they were trained. But Prabhupada says the modern leaders or so-called administrators or kings, they would never leave their post till someone kills them. Or they are pulled down by someone. They would never leave. Have you heard anyone saying that? Someone very rare. So much. Because the attachment is so strong, so powerful, he cannot give up. And you're not trained. But these kings, imagine, like King Uttanapad or Rishabdev himself, but a plenary expansion of Lord. they had so much power, so much opulence. So what must be the attachment? One sense. Because they had a higher taste, they would just walk. So, but modern day, we are seeing that how we have gone so far away from Vedic culture that whatever we speak, it appears sometimes very strange. So it is said that Gauranga Prabhu was saying, once he visited our hospital, he was saying, for a brahmachari, the problem is controlling his mind and senses. It's a big challenge to control. Of course, he has to take a very humble position. Well, traditionally, it's very difficult to do madhukari and all. Not very practical. So Prabhupada said, okay, book distribution. This is as good as begging. For grahasthas, the most difficult problem, the challenge, is greed, attachment to money. Then the solution given is you should do a lot of charity. For vanaprastha and sannyas, they also have a problem. What can be their problem? It is said their problem is complacency. A vanaprastha, one stage, he tastes some comfort in life, takes some pleasure in that, then he relaxes. So they are said they should not stay at one place. They should travel. So it's very scientific that this varnashrama dharma is created with proper understanding and instructions. So varnashrama dharma, just we will go into the history that why we are in this state now, why there is so much, what happened, what is the origin, what are the history behind it. You know that the varnashrama dharma system began, or the destruction began, because of one young brahmana. He was the cause of destruction. Of course, Kali was approaching. There was a time when Maharaj Parikshit was ruling the kingdom, and under his governance everything was so perfect. Even a small boy, he was so well trained and he had the power, he could do anything. And the system was so perfect. Of course, nowadays when we mention about this, oh, you people are following caste system. If you go to the Western world, people will say, caste system, so disgusting it is. That's what it is now. But if you go into the history, what is this? Varna and ashrama, as said by the Lord, how it was. So under his governance, everything was so perfect. The brahmanas, the kshatriyas, the vaishyas and the shudras. Just imagine, everyone was very happy. There was no question about the shudras trying to compete or trying to imitate or to take the position of a brahmana, because they know that it's not possible. Wherever I am, that's my position. And the brahmanas, they would same time respect all the other ashramas and varnas, I mean, especially the varnas. So it is said, Prabhupada said that this ashrama is like a social body. It's like a body. So there is, in a body, there is head, there is arms, there is belly, and there are legs. Everyone has its own function to serve the body, the whole body. The head is the most important because the head is the one which gives direction. But what if the legs, they start kicking the head and putting the head down to, you know, crushing the head and saying that we are the one who should be powerful? That is communism. There should not be any class. And what if suppose the arm starts beating the head and the belly and the legs and saying that, you know, finally everything is in the hand? That is dictatorship. And what if the belly, if says that everything is for me and it goes on accumulating and only nutrition to me, stomach, stomach, stomach. And that is capitalism. So if there is no proper head and if there is no proper union, no proper cooperation. For example, if the head goes mad, the head goes crazy, like he's intoxicated or sometimes he causes strange thing, what will happen to the body? The body will be behaving in a very vague way. No? The hands will be moving in this direction. Sometimes they are taken to the hospital and they are admitted, they are tied because they are creating so much nuisance. So this is what is happening. When we kick out saying that in the name of this, there should not be any class. Everyone is same. But it's not going to happen. It's impossible. So then this creates problem. So Prabhupada once said when he went to the Western world, he said when he went to an university, he saw many of the young people, they were in the university. He said, why they are in the university? Most of them should be on the field. They should be doing farming. Now, this is a very profound statement. I mean, no one will accept it. But what he wanted to say is, this so-called modern education, not seeing the person's qualification. Everyone is trying to become so and so, X, 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 so and, you know, whatever, you know, all technology and this, everyone wants to be. The better, it will be better that, you know, they go and do something which they would definitely do it best, and that will be a better contribution to the society. It may be farming, it may be growing grains, it may be some crafts, some arts, you prepare and sell it. But now, we are also trying what is there in the Western world. So everyone wants to do that. Everyone wants to come to the so-called top class of whether it's computer science or this, and everyone, that's it. But the result is, there will be always a problem. So this so-called caste system, like one time there was, in the news it was there because the government was trying to find some solution. So how the solution is? Okay, the people who are in the low caste, they should be given more allotment. So they were given more allotment. What was the result? The people of the higher caste, he started burning himself. It was in the newspaper. There was so much animosity and conflict. So there is no solution as such like that. So all these type, of course, the leaders are not interested in real solution. They are interested in that where they can get the votes from. So if this is one class where they can get the votes from, they will go for that. So there is no solution. So what is the solution then? Of course, traditionally, we have seen how... How did it happen? That was a young boy. So during Maharaj Parikshit's time, he had so much power that with his sword, he would go and control everything. He was a king, very powerful, and also he knew what was the need of the society. So once when he saw Kali had disguised as a king, and then it was beating the cow, and then it was breaking the legs of the bull. Now what was this? Was Kali was trying to break four regulative principles and of course all sinful activities, animal slaughter. So he was so powerful that he lifted up his sword and he was about to kill, but Kali surrendered. He said, please, give me some place. So he said, you can't stay in this place. You can go to these places where there is intoxication, where there is gambling, there is illicit sex. So he said, but in your kingdom, there is nothing like that. There is no place like that. Imagine, see the power. So he said, but I am also, I am surrendering to you. Give me some place. So he said, okay, you can go to a place where people are very greedy and hoarding gold. So that time Kali was, okay, not that he fully surrendered, but he was just waiting because Kali had to come. Kali had to take that power. But now you see all over the world, this is all legalized. What is legalized is intoxication is legalized, illicit sex is legalized, gambling is legalized, abortion is legalized. So when it is all legalized, that means all these government heads, they're actually taking orders from King Kali. King Kali is not seen. Where is King Kali? But King Kali is the one who's controlling, and they are obeying orders and they are accepting. Okay, yes, this is, and they are fully convinced. And is the order coming? But in Maharaj Parikshit's time, it was not like that. So he was so powerful. But then Kali was thinking, anyway, I had to enter. How to do it? That means Maharaj Parikshit is the only obstacle. So if he is not there, he will not protect, he will not have any ashrama, he will not have any rules, there will be no responsibilities. So there was a plot, there was a conspiracy, how to do it. So by Lord's will, he committed a so-called offense. How he put the snake, dead snake, when he came from forest, Maharaj Parikshit. He put the dead snake around Samik Rishi, correct? So that time, this boy was just 7-year-old, Brahmana boy, very powerful, so trained well, because it was Maharaj Parikshit's kingdom. He was so powerful, but he had so much pride in his heart. How dare a Kshatriya, you know, we are the best. We are the Brahmanas. We are the pure. These people are dependent on us. That is the time he cursed, and his curse had the power to destroy Maharaj Parikshit. So Kali entered through Sringi, that 7-year-old boy, because that weakness was there. What was that weakness? That pride. And through that pride, it entered. And you know that rest, what happened after that? After that, slowly, the Brahmanas are the one started thinking that they are the superiors. They have the only right. Instead of taking everyone closer to God, they were keeping everyone away from God. So when this happened, obviously, there was no proper direction. So the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, the Shudras, and this way everything completely dissolved and there was no class. And that is what is classless society. And in this classless society, to find a solution is impossible. Just to give an essence of how Vanaprastha life, as it is said here, this king Rishabdev was actually a plenary expansion, the Lord himself. But then he also wanted to show an example. What is Vanaprastha life? So what he did after he coronated his son Bharat, then he gave all the rights to his, instructed all his 100 sons. Then he gave up all responsibilities and he was staying alone. But he was staying in a very different way. He was not bothered about any social convention. He was not wearing clothes. He was wandering here and there. But then he left home. He was in the forest. But in the forest also he was behaving in such a way that people would consider him as a crazy man. And why he was doing all these things? Because he didn't want any recognition, any honor. Because all this recognition and honor, they become an obstacle. It is a severe material attachment. So when he used to come out of the forest, many times there will be flies around him, the children will throw stones at him, they will spit at him, they'll urinate him, they'll criticize him, they'll kick him, they will chastise him. But he would smile. When he used to smile, they would do it more, thinking that he's a madman. Some people will say he's a ghost. So this way he was completely peaceful because he didn't want any type of recognition. Because internally in his heart, obviously, he was completely absorbed. But then he went back into the forest and he was just lying down like a python. You know, lying down like a python means only if the food enters his mouth, he'll eat. Otherwise, he's not moved. He's to pass urine and stool, he's to roll on it so that no one will come near me. So this is one sense really the essence of a person becoming really deaf and dumb and blind to all social things. This is extreme. It is not possible. But the point is, at one stage in a life, Vedic culture is saying that you withdraw yourself and no more distractions, no more honor. They're only absorbed in this. So Prabhupada, of course, repeatedly said, there is no forest. This is a concrete jungle. There is no forest, even if you want to go to forest. So you spend more time chanting, hearing glories, serving. This way, you get the same essence. So if the situation now, if it is like this, where there is no class, is there any hope? Can it be possible that even in this state there can be some class? Of course, Prabhupada has many times he has said the importance of Varnashrama Dharma, how he wanted to establish. During his days, in the beginning, it was always Harinam Sankirtan. Devotees would go out and do Harinam. And during the Harinam, people will join the Harinam. They will follow the Harinam. They will come to the temple. Then they come to the temple, they are told that these are the rules, they will start following the rules, and then one day they are initiated without knowing much about what is Varna and Ashrama. But then Prabhupada used to say that my second phase of my mission is that I want to establish Varna Ashrama, because that is the natural way of making progress. Even though the politicians and the philanthropies and the whole world, if they say that this is caste system, but if it's properly understood, there is only way where there can be both material and spiritual prosperity. Materially also growing and spiritually also growing. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is one nice story to illustrate that it doesn't matter what varna or what class you are, but if you come in contact with pure devotees, how you can also reach. So it doesn't matter whether you are a Shudra or you are a Kshatriya or you are a Vaishya or a Brahmana. There are several stories like this. So one of them, which is very popular and we all heard, that how devotional service is beyond caste, creed, nationality. Usually caste is based on all these things, isn't it? Either it is nationality or it is based on race. Nationality means you are Indian or you are a Pakistani. And race is you are white and I am black or yellow. Chinese also, so many other colors. Of course, based on body, there are also sex, male and female. There are emotional wars going on. Women have their own type of fight and the men have their own type of a fight based on sex. Of course, based on wealth also it is there. There is different class. So all these different groups are there. That's what we are living here. Now we have in an old state, Biharis, Maharashtrians, big conflict, isn't it? Biharis should not come. So all these things are there. Why? Because there is no proper understanding and knowledge about soul. The only knowledge is that we are not this body and we are the soul. And if you give more importance to only this body and related to things, bodies, there will definitely be difference. Differences always will be there. But more than the body is the mind. Because it is the mind which is contaminated more. If the mind is not pure, the mind is not properly, that is the cause of all problem. If the mind is peaceful, whatever a person is, wherever he is, in what situation he is, he will not create any conflict. So the best, like once Sachinandan Maharaj was asking how to control the mind. So many of them gave their own answers, that someone said by attentively chanting, someone said reading Bhagavatam, someone said Vaishnava Seva, someone said. But he said that the best way to control mind is to be self-satisfied, to be content in life. I mean, I'm sure we also experience, if you are content in life, you are not going to commit offense. Will there be any offense? So this is the state. But then whatever state we are in, whatever varna we are in, whatever ashrama we are in, see how much hopes Shastra is giving us. So especially this story about in Chaitanya Charitamrita it comes. There was an hunter. His name was Mrigahari. Now he was a very powerful hunter. It is not by his choice he had taken that profession. It was running in his family. He had learned this art from his father, and his father had learned from his grandfather and from his father. So this way it had taken a lot of generation, and he had mastered the art of hunting. He had such perfect art. The uniqueness about his art was, he was not just grossly killing the animals. He would kill the animal in such a way that they would struggle, they will flap their wings, they'll be there for a long time, and he will take pleasure in that. Now it's very strange that how can anyone take pleasure in that? You may think, is it possible? Because you're not at that level. But according to the modes of nature, everyone takes pleasure. Everyone is also taking some pleasure somewhere, and we may not know that whether it, what level, what is it, sadguna or is it rajaguna or tamaguna. So person in tamaguna, he takes pleasure in threatening someone, controlling someone, seeing that person's life is dependent on me, in my hand it is, or I can kill you, I can prolong your life. So that what he feels, it's a pleasure. And the person who's in the mode of passion, now passion means creation, he takes also one type of a pleasure. There is a pleasure in that. He says that he has created so much, his business, his family, his children, then grandchildren, then grandchildren, thinks that this has all come from my seed. I am the one who has created this. I am the one creating this. So that is also one type of a pleasure. But there is one more pleasure, which is again in sadguna, that pleasure. Very philanthropic, lot of charity, people who are sick, he's giving them medicine, providing them food, who are starving, I am the one who is maintaining. So this maintenance, this ignorance, this, all are in different modes. So this Mrigahari, he was taking pleasure in killing animals like this. So one day Narada Muni appeared, so he was shocked. He was shocked to see one porcupine struggling, one bird is struggling, one deer is struggling, there are arrows pierced, they are not dead, but they are struggling. So he wanted to know who must have done this, and that time this hunter came. So he asked us, who has done this? So he felt that Narada Muni was very impressed by his art. So he's asking him, he said, I have done it. With a lot of pride he said, that this is what I have done it, because this is my art, marksmanship. I can. So Narada Muni, out of course, Mrigahari was taking pleasure in that act. That was his occupation. And Narada Muni's job is to make people understand that there is some higher pleasure, so that to give them a chance to go to some higher pleasure, understand what is the pleasure. And once you understand that pleasure, obviously you give up this pleasure. This is what in the history saintly people have been trying, sacrificing their life, going traveling to just give this. So he told Mrigahari, now how to preach him? This person is in the mode of total ignorance. So by his will, he said, you know that what you are doing, all these things? You know what will be happen to you? He said, what will happen to you? This is my profession, and I am doing it for my family. So Narada Muni showed him that what will happen. So he had a vision of all these animals whom he had tortured, they all coming back to him and attacking him. So he got frightened. He said, I don't want this to happen. So if you don't want this to happen, then you should break the bow. So he was taken aback. How can I break the bow? Because this is my occupation. This is my livelihood. This is what I am earning from. And this is what I'm doing for my family. For them I'm doing it. So Narada Dama says, you are doing for them. So now you are going to suffer. So go and ask them, you have been doing for them, right? Go and ask them that this is the reaction. Will you also share the reaction? So he goes back to his wife and children and he says, see, this is what I have been doing and this will be the reaction. So you also will have to share that reaction. So what was the response? They said, no, you did, that was your duty. We will not take. So he came back to Narada Muni and he said, they are not going to take it. So now you break the bow. So he broke the bow. And after that, of course, Narada Muni instructed him how to live his life. And in the course of time, we all know that what transformation changed, I mean, occurred in his life. When Narada Muni and Parvata Muni were coming to see him, now this person, he was so eager to meet his Guru Maharaj because he's the one who gave him that secret and he's experiencing that higher pleasure. So he was very eager to go and touch his feet. So he wanted running towards him. But on the way, when he was running, he suddenly stopped. He stopped, and why he stopped? Because on the way there were ants crawling. Now this person was so ruthless, would kill animals with such pain. And now when he saw the ants, he just swayed them away on his path and then he walked. Now this was a transformation which took place in Mrigahari's life. Narada Muni saw him, that his life had changed. His wife, his children, everyone were devotees. What did he do? There was no question about Varna, Ashrama, anything. He was in the mode of ignorance. Just the power of association, chanting, and he was following his instruction. And he became a Vaishnava. So it is said, it is not Brahmana, or it is to become a Brahmana is not the highest position. What is the use of being a Brahmana who may be preaching, you may be influencing many people, but he can't liberate himself? Where is the question about he liberating others? But a Vaishnava, whatever birth he has taken, whatever birth he is in, doesn't matter. But if he accepts and he submissively takes this in his life, he can liberate others to what to speak about himself. This is the power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's blessings, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fought against all these wrong conceptions in the society. And he wanted to make it very clear that it is just hearing and chanting. Isn't it? When he asks Ramananda Rai, tell me what is the goal of life and how to attain it. So Ramananda Rai, he said, following Varna Ashrama. Of course, Ramananda Rai was saying about the basic principles, that you follow this, you are making progress. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was interested in higher principles, but this was the most basic principle. But the higher principle is hearing and chanting, irrespective of what birth you have taken. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to Udupi, he met the Tattvavadis. When he went to Udupi, the leaders, they came forward. So again he asked the same question. What is the goal of life and how to attain the goal of life? So the Tattvavadis said, strictly following the Varna and Ashrama, you make progress, you will please the Lord, and you achieve the goal of life. Again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought it. It is hearing and chanting which is the highest principle. So several such instances are there in Shastra. So this is just one story where we have heard. There are many such stories. Of course, there is one more interesting story for all of us to understand, that how these Brahmanas, when they became very corrupt, very exploitative, when all Varnashrama got destroyed, they became very corrupt. And in that state, how it was so prevalent, you know, how the Brahmins would be saying that what they are doing is right and they have the only thing. course, Shastra also makes a very this statement. It's not that we are against Brahmanas. I mean, Brahmana by birth is very clean, honest, well-read. But Shastra is saying that in Kali Yuga, it is the most horrible, blood-sucking Brahmanas, I mean, Rakshasas, who take birth as Brahmanas. I mean, there is no offense to Brahmanas. I'm thinking because the Brahmanas who think like this, if they want to exploit other class thinking, I am the best, actually, it is said in Shastra, it is the Rakshasas who are taking birth in that to exploit people. So there is one more very nice story. This is again in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It comes during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. But still the essence is very important, that what have we received, you know, how fortunate we are. How the process, what is given to us, transcends all this varna, ashrama, nationality, race, and all our past conditioning. Everyone is getting a chance. So this is a story about one person whose name was Subhuti Roy. He was a Brahmana by birth, and he was a very powerful person, very respected man in the society. And then he had his one assistant whom he was training. He was by birth a low birth person. So he trained him very nicely, gave him all the affection to this boy. Then this boy grew up, and he became a very powerful person. He got married, and one day he was with his wife, and his wife saw a mark on his body. So she asked, "What is this mark?" So he said that this is by my very dear father. He was like a father for me. He was so much affectionate. One day I did a mistake and he punished me. He spanked me. So this is the scar of that. So she was very upset that how dare anyone beat my husband, this body mark. And she was quite powerful now. So she told him that whoever has done it, he should be punished. He should be sentenced to death. She was so cruel. So he said, how can I do that? You know, he was like my father. How can I kill him? Either you do that or I will leave you. So this is the threat. Of course, he was attached to his wife. But he thought about a plot that how to kill him at the same time, not to kill him. So he, those days, it was so prevalent. Just imagine, Brahmana class was so powerful that some stupid thing, if it is you lose your caste, then no one will accept. So the best thing is to see that he loses his caste. Who? Subhuti Roy. So what he did, he took water from the pitcher of someone from low caste who had drank it and sprinkled that water on Subhuti Roy. So everyone came to know that Subhuti Roy has been sprinkled by the water, drank by a untouchable, low caste person. So what is the result of that? He has lost his caste. He is no more a Brahmana. He is outcast. So outcast means he can't enter the temple, he can't read Shastras, he can't do pujas, he can't chant. So many things he can't do. So he was desperate. Is there any way I can again become a Brahmana? Can I become a Brahmana again? So he went to places. He asked one Brahmana, "See, this is what has happened to me. So what to do? "No, oops, you can't do anything. Finish. For the rest of your life, you have to live like this." So everyone, he was an outcast, Brahmana. But then he went to one person. So there was some glimmer of hope. Someone gave him a solution. So he said, "Oh, there is some solution." He said, "Yes, there is a solution. See the solution what gives. See how Brahmanas were." The name of, you know, we only know what is truth. This is how it should be done. So he said, "What you do, with a lot of feelings," he said, "you boil ghee till it is smoking. Ghee becomes smoking, you know. And what you do is you drink that ghee. Smoking ghee." So Subhuti Roy said, "But if I drink that ghee, I will die. You're telling me to drink this boiling ghee? Yes, boiling ghee, you drink it. But then I will die. That's what I want. Why? Because ghee comes from cow. Cow is very pure. So ghee is very pure. So when you die with this pure ghee in your stomach. So you get purified. So next life you'll become. This is how was so prevalent. Caste consciousness. So some or the other, he happened to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went and told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is my state, what should I do? I lost my caste. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't worry. See, this is what all hopes for us. Don't worry. You can become better than a Brahmana. You will become a Vaishnava. And you will be adored and worshipped and respected. Forget, even the Brahmanas will worship you. You will go above them. So what I'm supposed to do? He said, you chant the holy name, you go to Vrindavan, you serve the Vaishnavas. So he just followed that instruction. He used to collect wood in Vrindavan from the forest, he used to sell it. And then he served Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas, especially the Bengalis who used to come from Bengal, they would have problem in digestion because in North India you'll get only rotis and they are used to eating rice. So he used to, with his money, used to buy rice, used to buy some ghee, used to buy yogurt and some oil. So he served them with all this nice food, he used to massage their body with that oil, he used to take them for parikrama to all 12 forests. And this way he perfected his life. What to speak about losing his caste? He became a Vaishnava, and this is the solution which transcends all caste. You know that famous incident happened during Prabhupada's time. There was one Prabhupada's disciple. He was very sincere and he was so feeling, because he was so humble, feeling that what background I have come from, you know. I have from a Malicha family, you know, done all sinful activities. And he happened to be in Radha Raman temple in Vrindavan and he was watching the Aarti the Brahmana was performing, and with wide eyes, with so much of pleasure in his heart, that so great. So the Brahmana who was doing, he felt, oh, this person looks very... So he said, you continue doing like this, be sincere like this, next birth you will take in a Brahmana family. And you will get a chance also to do this. For him, it was such a big blessing. I got a blessing that you will become a Brahmana. So he ran to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, today I am blessed. I have been blessed. Who blessed you? This is what happened in the temple. The pujari said, I continue like this, I'll become a Brahmana. And then I can also worship. Prabhupada was not happy. Prabhupada was very displeased with that. He said, now you go back. You go back and tell him that you continue doing this. Next life you'll take birth in the Western world. You will come in contact with devotees and you'll become a pure devotee after that. Of course, he didn't say that. He didn't go back, but the essence is, it is not, no doubt the Lord has created this ashrama and Prabhupada wants to be established. But the point is, it is ultimately in Kali Yuga, it is hearing and chanting. Because the Brahmanas, the whatever so-called in our country, they started exploiting people. So people were so helpless. That is why there was so much conversion starting taking place. Isn't it? Huh? How the Christians, of course, bona fide, we have nothing against Christianity, we have nothing against Islam. But then in Christians, there is no class. There is no class, right? There is no class. And here, there is so much class. You can't enter the temple. You can't do this. They said, you can come. You can come to the church. You can come to the mosque. You can do anything. Of course, they were not trying to preach love of God, but they wanted their own, how to subjugate, like for the British. The British, it was very important that for them that many people become Christians. Why? During the British rule, they wanted. Why? Because they will be loyal to the law of London, I mean, the Queen's law. So that was the purpose it was going on. So this is how Varnashrama system is very bona fide, very scientific for material and spiritual prosperity, but which is misquoted as caste system. Many times among we see this type of arguments. People want to keep their caste pure, but the truth is ultimately that we are not this body, we are spirit, soul. The nature of the soul is very pure in service of Krishna, and it is deriving that pleasure in that service, in that state. All other things remains external, just to organize a society so that everything goes on nicely. So this Varna is needed, but it is not necessary that a person purifies his consciousness and experiences that higher pleasure in life. Sometimes during preaching, people oppose. They sometimes oppose. Sometimes I'm sure brahmacharis have expressed that if we follow you, then every one of us will become like you. Is it going to happen like that? Will it happen anytime? Can everyone become brahmacharis? Never going to happen. So in the society, all classes of people needed. There are brahmanas needed. There are kshatriyas needed. There are vaishyas needed. There are shudras needed. There has to be four ashramas also. Brahmachari ashrama, grahastha ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama, and sannyas ashrama. So all these are designed, but if in our own so-called Hinduism, now we say, Prabhupada repeatedly used to say, there is nothing like Hinduism. The name of the religion is Sanatan Dharma or Varna Ashrama Dharma. He repeatedly says, there is nothing like Hinduism. There is no Shastra which says Hinduism. There is nothing like Hindu anywhere. People are very proud that I am Hindu and I am also following this. There is nothing like that. This name derived because people who are staying that side of Sindhu River, they used to hate people who are staying this side of river because they were following Varnashrama. Because they were staying across the river Sindhu, which is in Pakistan, they used to call them as Sindhus, and in the course of time it became Hindus, and that Hindus term became Hinduism. And we now all we say that we are Hindus. But actually the worldwide religion is Sanatan Dharma, which is beyond all this nationality and caste, creed, races, wealth, all stuff, except chanting the holy name and following four regulative principles, means living a pure life, serving devotees, associating with devotees, life becomes perfect. That is why Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that this place is not meant for gentlemen otherwise. He said this place is like a toilet. Now why do you go to a toilet? You go to toilet to just fulfill your business. You don't stay there. You just get out from there after you. But modern civilization, the best part of the money is invested in toilets in big flats, because they don't want to even pursue anything which is real, you know. But Bharat Maharaj, remember Bharat Maharaj? Very, very graphic how he says that he walked out from his kingdom the way a person walks out after passing. The fool stool is the most disgusted thing. No one turns back to see how does a stool look like. It's something very natural. It comes out of your body, but you just walk. So this is in principle Varnashrama Dharma and its role in our life. And Prabhupada has said it should be established. And the glories of hearing and chanting, how we can perfect our life. Karantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So we'll stop here, Prabhu. Anyone? So we'll stop here. Thank you very much for your tolerance and hearing. Is there any announcement? I'm sorry if I made all of you go to sleep.